From Mendocino County Public Broadcasting, this is the KZYX News for Tuesday, October 29th. I'm Sarah Wright. The Mendocino Marine Life Advocates held their first Ocean Life Symposium at the Matheson Theater in the village of Mendocino this weekend. About 50 people, including members of the high school sonar club, learned about the three distinct cultures of killer whales, efforts to save island seabirds from overfishing and rodents, and underwater industrial parks that are so loud they interfere with migration, breeding, and day-to-day life for aquatic life forms. The forum wrapped up on Saturday afternoon, just a few hours before the power went off. The wind was picking up, and everyone was in a hurry to get where they needed to be next. I caught up with presenter Michael Stalker of Ocean Conservation Research and organizer Thais Mazur, who spoke about the origin and purpose of Marine Life Advocates.
There was a group of us that got together after the naval weapons public hearing here on the coast, and we decided that it would be a really good idea to get our community together to hear from experts. We wanted to make sure that our coastal community is educated on what is happening with the oceans, the challenges, some of the great threats to our oceans, as well as what are the possible solutions, so that we could inspire people to take action to protect our North Coast community.
And let me ask you to introduce yourself and talk a little bit about ocean noise, because it's not all military. You described an underwater industrial parks.
My name is Michael Stalker. I'm a marine bioacoustician. I run an organization called Ocean Conservation Research. We do scientific research and policy development on noise pollution and the impact of human-generated noise on marine habitat. The ocean is 10 times louder now than it was just 50 years ago, just because of shipping, international shipping, internationalization of commerce and trade. Adding on top of that, militarization of the ocean, underwater communication sonars, industrialization of the seafloor. The oil industry is putting pre-refineries on the seafloor, which are basically these high-pressure factories that do separation and reinjection. There's a lot of mechanical noise. And in order to get there in the first place, they have to find the oil, and they're doing these seismic surveys all over the place, basically looking for oil. The surveys involve towing these arrays of air guns that give off a pretty loud pulse explosion every anywhere from 2 to 17 seconds, depending upon the depth of the water and the depth of the survey that they need to do. But these surveys are explosions you can hear around the clock, months on end, and you can hear them 1,000 miles away. They're that loud. And when they start doing those to find the oil, if they find the oil and they start excavating and going to production, every few months they'll do another survey. So the ocean will completely transform acoustically after oil is found and after exploration or production begins. And of course, the problem with that, which I guess I didn't connect, is that the ocean is an acoustic environment. That pretty much all animals in the ocean use sound to get around, like terrestrial animals use vision to get around. I mean, some of them see as well. There's light down at 3,000 feet, but it's bioluminescence. Most of the light that gets down, the sunlight, goes down a few hundred feet. That's about it. So most of the animals, all the animals in the ocean use sound to establish their relationship with the surroundings. So our noise is interfering with that.
The symposium started on Friday night with a screening of a short documentary on that very topic. Mazur shared an anecdote that really drove the point home.
We were watching the new documentary, Sonic Sea, and it's about all the ocean noise from ships and sonar and oil exploration. And we heard the most horrible, horrible sound, right as in the film they were saying, these ocean animals do not have a door to go out. We were told we had to leave immediately. That sound was not coming from the film. It was actually the fire alarm that had gone off and was a screeching, horrible noise. And so we all left the theater very quickly, not knowing what was happening. It was actually a PG&E alert. And it was extraordinary because as we were watching this film and we were being told about the stress that loud noises cause on marine life, We ourselves had that exact same visceral physical experience, very stressed out. So that was quite the experience, and it will be a good story that will follow us through the years as we continue to produce these symposiums.
Of course, we are kind of lurking and hurrying because PG&E is about to shut off power, and whales originally were hunted almost to extinction because they were a source of the power that people wanted. And you mentioned that people need to reconsider our relationship with all forms of power, because even wind creates, even wind turbines, which is supposed to be alternative and green, create all these problems for whales. So do you think these blackouts are an opportunity to reconsider our relationship with the power that we need?
I think they are. Without getting too local, I think that it's an opportunity to realize how ham-handed a privatization of a public utility is. But that notwithstanding, yes. I mean, but we also, what I said earlier on is that we can't think about the idea of just unplugging from fossil fuel and plugging into a quote-unquote renewable or sustainable energy source. We need to reframe our use of energy completely and use less of it. And we can and still have a high quality of life.
For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reif. For all our local news with photos and more, visit kzyx.org.